I'm Chuck. It's Miles Davis behind me right now from his Bitches Brew album. This is Pharaoh's Dance. And I'll bring that to the foreground while I get some more Zen material queued up. I guess next I'll bring up something he did in 2004 here in Cambridge when he had a presentation with Michelle Schacht. So that'll be coming your way shortly. Stay tuned. This is WMBR in Cambridge.
Against the wall, always accused of somehow exonerating Saddam Hussein. I never heard anybody exonerate Saddam Hussein. I never heard anybody in the anti-war movement defend Saddam Hussein or deny that he was a tyrant and he did terrible things to his own people. That was never the point of the anti-war. The point of the anti-war movement was, yes, he did terrible things, but if you're faced with a tyrant who does terrible things to his own people, then you don't respond to that by killing his own people. I mean, this, you know, you make. But you know, this is the nature of modern warfare. If you make in modern warfare, with all the enormous technology of modern warfare and the indiscriminate nature of modern warfare, yes, indiscriminate, no matter what they talk, smart bombs. It's, war is indiscriminate killing. You see. And in modern warfare, if you're making war presumably against a tyrant, what you do is you kill the victims of the tyrant. And that, in fact, that's what happened in Afghanistan. We're after Osama bin Laden. We don't catch Osama bin Laden, but we kill 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in Afghanistan and leave thousands more mutilated. Here in Iraq, you know, again, Saddam Hussein, you know. So, obviously, we want to get rid of tyranny in the world. We want to get rid of tyrants in the world. But war is not the way. War is not the way. It's, you know, we have to, we have to find other ways of dealing with, I mean, the human race is supposed to be smart. War is dumb, you see. We've reached that point in human history where we have to use the ingenuity that human beings have to figure out ways to solve problems without killing large numbers of people. Violence is not the answer to that. And so, no, I never heard exoneration of Saddam Hussein, you see. But it's only a question of how do you deal with tyrants? Not only with Saddam Hussein. The idea, you know, those people, you know, who try to form our thinking, the people in the White House, the people on Fox Television, the people, yes, on CNN, they try to draw a line around one individual and make that one individual the repository of all evil. But the world is full of evil people. and they're not all in other countries, you see. And so you can't, you know, war doesn't do it.
Professor Emeritus of History from Boston University, Howard Zinn, speaking this past Tuesday at his big date with Michelle Schacht at, I know where they played. I know exactly. I gotta let you talk. Sorry, where was it?
Parish Unitarian Church in Cambridge.
Wonderful, beautiful Cambridge. And so thanks to Chuck for recording that, and we got a chance to hear it, and we can get rid of some of this background music, and you might want to play.
He didn't have that background music playing while he was talking. I didn't remember that, so that was something you was playing underneath it.
It's the magic of radio, that's right, and now it's gone.
Hello, this is Michelle Schacht, and you're listening to No Censorship Radio on WMBR Cambridge.
Well, that's fine with us, too. Why don't you play some Michelle Schacht music?
I told you, I have this censorship song. It's really good. If I can remember how to play it, let's see, it goes something like, consecrate your soul. There's gonna be hell to pay. You got them where they live come the judgment day. Okay, that had the word cocksuck and okay, bro, can't say cock. No, consecrate. I said consecrate. Consecrate your soul. That's what I said. Y'all were listening very close. You got them where they live come the judgment day. All right, listen closely now. Father, forgive our sins. Mother, forgive us too. I forgive, but don't forget. They never meant to hurt you. She's doing the widow walk. Censorship went down. I've seen her with a pretty boy. The countryside of town. Her captain is lost at sea. Her ship is forgotten too. She'd admit she'd been singing the hellfire brimstone blues. Oh, should never have tried to rock. Should never have tried to roll. Oh, but damn, I don't regret the 33 RPM soul. The 33 RPM soul. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, it's the worst performance I ever did of that song, but you still get the idea.
Michelle Schacht performing live here on WMBR back in 2004. That was a great week here. She was here one day, and the previous day she was with Howard Zinn down at one of those churches in Cambridge where she and Howard spoke, and we heard comments from Howard from that event over the music of John Fahey that was mixed by Linda P., co-host of No Censorship Radio back then. I was the other co-host of that program. Linda is now doing What's Left. She's been doing it for a number of years, I guess, 6 years now it's going on, since the end of No Censorship Radio. And she's on Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10. And tonight, as her guest, she'll be having a gubernatorial candidate, Green Party gubernatorial candidate. I'm just spacing on her name right now. She ran once before. Jill Stein, right. Dr. Jill Stein will be Linda's guest tonight on What's Left from 8 to 10. Moving back to our program here at hand, Howard Zinn, who's also a playwright, a fairly well-known one at that. He did a play called Marx in Soho, and it was performed in 2007, a one-act, one-man play. It was performed by Robert Weick at Jimmy Tingle's Off-Broadway Theater in Davis Square. So we'll hear a little excerpt of Robert's performance of Marx in Soho, and then Howard Zinn was present in the audience, and after the play, he took some candid questions from the audience and had some spontaneous fun remarks. So let's hear some of that right now here on WMBR in Cambridge.
And yes, I can hear you saying, well, of course, that's how it was back then, a century ago. Only then? If I were to walk through the streets of Boston today, I'd be surrounded by garbage, breathing foul air. I'd walk past the bodies of men and women sleeping on the streets, huddled against the cold. Or instead of a lassie singing a ballad, I'd hear a voice in my ear. Some change, sir, for a cup of coffee. You call this progress? Because you have motor cars and cell phones and flying machines and 1,000 potions to make you smell better. And people sleeping on the streets. Ah, yes, I have here an official report. Yes. The United States gross national product last year. Yes, gross. Last year, $10,000 billion. Most impressive. But tell me, where is it? Who is profiting from it? Who is not? Less than 500 individuals control $3,000 billion in business assets. And did I not say 150 years ago that capitalism would enormously increase the wealth of society, but that this wealth would be concentrated in fewer and fewer hands? Oh, example. Yes, there was a giant merger. Fleet Bank of Boston and Bank of America. 13,000 workers will lose jobs. Stocks rise. The bank said, cutting jobs is necessary to give investors the kind of returns they expect to see from such a large merger.
There's nothing wrong with the capitalism. There's nothing wrong with the free enterprise. Don't try and make me feel guilty. I'm so tired of it. There's nothing wrong with the making some profit. There's nothing wrong with the wanting to live nice. I'm so tired of hearing right about the revolution. I'm bringing down the rich. When was the last time you took a ditch, baby? Struggling masses, whoever they are. You talk about the suffering and pain. Your mouth is bigger than your entire brain. What the hell do you know about suffering and pain?
And yes, and they say capitalism has become more humane since my time. Really? Enron. And just a few years ago, it was in your newspapers. Yes. Factory owners locked the doors on the women working in a chicken factory in North Carolina. Why? To make more profit. There was a fire. 25 workers were trapped, burned to death.
There's nothing wrong with the capitalism. There's nothing wrong with the free enterprise. Don't try to make me feel guilty. I'm so tired of it.
If I could just be a devil's advocate for free market in the American way, I would say, I would like to ask, do you find it ironic that really only because of our capitalist society where kind of money equals freedom and because of the freedom to express yourself, you could do a play here called Marx in Soho but you're probably still going to do a play in Cuba called Milton Friedman in Chicago. I mean, what do you think about the merits of capitalism?
Yeah. Well, I saw Marx and Soho done in Havana. But no, but that's an interesting point and a good point. Oh, well, here we're railing against the capitalist system, and the capitalist system allows us to reach 200 people with Marx and Soho. The capitalist system would not allow us to be on NBC and CBS and reach a million people, you see. You know, and, you know, it's one of the devilish features of the capitalist system, that it allows just enough apertures, just enough freedom to make people think, oh, this is a free society. But that freedom is very carefully controlled.
A question over here, Howard.
WMBR, Cambridge.
You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some. at the end of World War II, at the Nuremberg trial, the Nazi leaders were hanged for carrying on wars of aggression. And we are carrying on a war of aggression. I think what we ought to start talking about is not just the war in Iraq, but war in general. Because war. I'm a veteran of World War II. I was a bombardier in the Air Force in World War II. And my own experience and my study of history have persuaded me that war solves no fundamental problems. No matter what excuse is given to us by our leaders, our so-called leaders, no matter what we are told about fighting for freedom and democracy, no matter what tyrant is in power, there's no excuse for war, which is the mass indiscriminate killing of huge numbers of people. No excuse for that. War should come to an end, and we should think beyond the war in Iraq and insist that we will never go to war again for whatever reason is given to us. And insist that we will never go to war again.
Howard Zinn, in edits there over the music of Fossoforo doing a Latin version of Bob Marley's well-known tune, War. And Howard Zinn, I just kind of chopped up and in a little artsy way, creating stereo effects on anti-war statements that he made at a rally on the Boston Common in November of 2007. What we can do now is hear some more of those comments from that rally without the edits and without the music. So here's what Howard Zinn had to say on the Boston Common back in 2007 here in WMBR in Cambridge.
We ought to stop talking about timetables for withdrawal. There's only one timetable for withdrawal, and that is to get the troops out as fast as ships and planes can carry them. You know, don't. No. If somebody invaded your home and smashed things up and terrorized your children, would you give them a timetable? And when I look at this latest Democratic proposal for a timetable, maybe 18 months from now, at the same time funding the war for another $140 billion, it's as if you gave an intruder in your house a timetable for withdrawal, and meanwhile, made a nice dinner for him. We can't do that. We have to get out. We don't belong in Iraq. The people in Iraq do not want us there. The American people have expressed themselves clearly that the American people don't want us there. It seems the only people who want us there are the members of Congress and the Bush administration. We shouldn't have any more non-binding and binding resolutions. This administration feels that everything is non-binding. According to Bush, the Ten Commandments are non-binding. Thou shalt not kill is non-binding. The only kind of resolution that there's a resolution that the House of Representatives could pass, which is binding and which is not subject to presidential veto, and that is a resolution for impeachment.
you know.
Hi.
It's time to talk about impeachment. We've had 4 years of war in Iraq. We've had 4 years of what the Constitution requires as the grounds for impeachment, and that is high crimes and misdemeanors. We have had high crimes committed by this government. Aggressive war.
Howard Zinn talking on the Boston Common back in November of 2007, referring, of course, to the Bush administration, and asking to not have timetables, but just to get out now and then actually calling for impeachment. He also went on to describe war in general as a terrorist act.
You know, they talk about terrorism and a war on terrorism, and just think that at the time of 9/11, this country had 10,000 nuclear weapons. We had submarines armed with nuclear weapons. We had air bases in 100 countries, and yet 9/11 took place. Militarism, war, submarines, nuclear weapons, they solve nothing. And if we are going to really do something about terrorism, we have to get rid of war, because war is terrorism. We need to stop all of this pride in being a great military power. I don't want my country to be a great military power. I want my country to be a great humanitarian power. Yeah. When people were drowning in New Orleans and in Mississippi because of Katrina, I was thinking of the helicopters over in Iraq, which should have been saving people here in this country instead of killing people over there. And we should be using our enormous wealth to give everybody in this country free health care. And I mean everybody. No. Let's not talk about legal immigrants and illegal immigrants and citizens and non-citizens. Every human being deserves free health care. Every human being deserves an education. Yeah, I remember those signs of last May. No human being is illegal. Except maybe the people in the White House. Yeah. And Albert Einstein said after World War I, thinking of the horror of that war, he said, "Wars will not stop until men refuse to fight." And we are now seeing men and women refusing to fight in Iraq. And we need to support them. We need to support the families of those who have died in Iraq. And when enough people refuse to fight in Iraq, when enough of us support them in their refusal, then the war will not be able to continue. So I look forward to that time when not only this war ends, but all war ends, and we finally live in a country we can be proud of. Thank you.
Democracy requires citizen participation, citizen action every day of the year. You vote one day of the year, but you need to be a citizen, an active citizen, a participant, an organizer, a joiner of organizations, a petitioner, a protester. You need to do that every day of the year in order to have democracy. When we have had the most democracy in this country, it's not when we've elected one president or another. We've had the most democracy in this country when we've had social movements of citizens changing the atmosphere in the country, crying out against injustice.
Democracy.
I just wanna rap to you, baby. I'm coming to see you.
west to the west. Come on east, come on east, come on east. Free, 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 free. Dee, 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 dee. Live, 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 liberty. Why do you arrive so high? No food here, no jobs at all. Wanna rap, wanna rap, wanna rap. Gonna rap, gonna rap, gonna rap. Coming to you, coming to you, coming to you. From the east, from the east, from the east. Watch out, watch out. Freedom is my name.
The gay rights movement is an interesting example of all this. There's no support. Nothing from the top, no support from the Supreme Court, no support from Congress or the President. But by beginning to speak up, the gay people in this country, they came out of fear and seclusion and spoke up and got together and they raised their voices, and now they're a force in the country. People listen to them and more people are understanding and more people, you know, are sympathetic and less people are bigoted than before. And the same thing with the women's movement. People's movements are the closest thing we get to democracy. And under Lincoln's presidency, and while the Civil War is going on, presumably to lead to the freedom of black slaves, Indians in Colorado are slaughtered by the United States Army. Now, that's not a heritage to be proud of, and I think it's very good that today Indians, Native Americans all over this country, are raising their voices to remind us of that history and to declare that they are alive and that they, in their lives today, want to be treated like human beings.
Lucas and Varth here, doing the tune Freedom and Democracy, and Howard Zinn gave us some historical references of this country over this song. He gave those historic references at an interactive TV station back in the 1990s called MCET. He was interacting with high school students from across the state at that time, talking to them directly, and they were talking back to him via telephone. MCET was an educational television station here in Cambridge in the 1990s. They also produced another very good historic program. They produced several good programs in their time, but they did one with the Underground Railway Theater on the life of Harriet Tubman. And as long as we're looking at history and Howard Zinn being about history, let's give a listen to a little piece of the Underground Railway Theater production called Are You Ready, My Sister, about Harriet Tubman, here on WMBR in Cambridge.
Are you ready, my brother?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for that journey?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready, my sister?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for that chariot to carry me home. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord. My Lord,
I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride the chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord.
My Lord, are you ready, my sister?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for that journey?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready, my brother?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for that chariot to carry me home. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord. my Lord. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna ride that chariot in the morning, Lord. I'm getting ready for that judgment day, my Lord, my Lord.
Woo! There used to be a newspaper in Boston, Massachusetts called the Boston Commonwealth. And on July 10th, 1863, they wrote an article about that raid. The article said, Colonel Montgomery and his gallant band of 300 black soldiers, under the guidance of a black woman named Harriet Tubman, dashed into enemy territory, struck a bold and effective blow, and brought out near 800 slaves.
800, Harriet? Still thou wast paid nothing for thy work.
That's right, Miss Bradford. That hurt pretty bad. But the worst was when I was coming back here to Auburn after the war.
Why? Harriet, what happened then?
I was riding a train. This time I was legit. I had a pass from War Secretary Seward himself and a bunch of other letters saying who I was and what I had done for the Army. Didn't make no difference. A white conductor told me, get on out of here and into the baggage car where you belong. I wouldn't move. I showed him my pass from Secretary Seward, but he wouldn't believe it was real. He didn't even look at my other papers. He tried to move me by force, but he couldn't budge me. It wasn't for none that I had pulled those big barges for Master Thompson or carried worn-out fugitives on my back for miles. He called another conductor, and they still couldn't move me.
I shall not be moved.
No, I said.
I shall not be moved.
I ain't nobody's baggage no more.
Just like a tree that's standing by the water.
I ain't moving. I got the right.
I shall not be moved.
It took three of those conductors to throw this here conductor into the baggage car.
We shall not be moved.
Just like a tree that's planted
by the water. In 1953, in Montgomery, Alabama, Rosa Parks was told by a white bus driver that she had to move to the back of the bus, where then, by law, black folks were supposed to sit. Well, she looked at him and she said,
no,
I ain't moving. I got the right.
Someone wants to treat you like baggage or get you out of the way because you are a different color,
or come from a different country,
or speak a different language,
or have to move around in a wheelchair,
or just act different from what they consider normal, you just have to say, no,
I ain't moving.
I got the right. Come on and say it with us.
No, I ain't moving. I got the right.
I can't hear you. You got to say it a little louder.
No, I ain't moving. I got the right.
That's right.
Arise, ye workers, from your slumbers. Arise, ye prisoners of war. For reason and revolt now thunders, and at last ends the age of camp. Away with all your superstition. Servile masses, arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition. We'll spurn the dust to win the prize.
Muzzle, comrades, come rally. And the last fight let us face. The Internationale unites the human race. Hustle, comrades, come rally. And the last fight let us face. The Internationale unites the human race.
Deluded by reaction, when tyrants only will make war, the soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks, they'll fight no more.
and that those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to the fry. They soon shall hear the bullets flying, shoot the generals on our own side.
So comrades, come rally, and the last fight let us face. The Internationale unites the human race. So comrades, come rally, and the last fight let us face. The Internationale unites the human race.
Savior from an idol of ours, no faith have we in Prince of Fear. Our own right hand the chains must shiver, chains of hatred, greed and fear. Tell the thieves all out with the booty, and give to all a happier lot. Each at the foes must do their duty, and will strike while the iron is hot.
So comrades, come rally, and the last fight let us face. The Internationale unites the human race. So comrades, come rally, and the last fight let us face. The Internationale unites the human race. The Internationale.
Alistair Hewitt there with the classic The Internationale. He's a Scottish, was a Scottish protest singer. He also passed away this past week. But I think a day or two before Howard, I'm not really sure, but it was also relatively recently. And prior to that, we're from the Underground Railway Theater with a piece of their Harriet Tubman production called Are You Ready, My Sister? Behind me right now is the music of James Blackshore. It's a tune called Infinite Circle, and he played at TT's last night. We were going to use this music as a backdrop for our final comments from Howard Zinn to end up on a hopeful note. Howard returned to Spelman College, the place where he was fired from in the 60s. He returned there in 2005 to give commencement address, and he spoke with David Balsamian just a few months ago about that. So we will hear that as our closing comments here on Green Margin. Stay tuned. The WMBR News will be up after this, here on WMBR.
It was quite a remarkable day, actually. And I got such a warm welcome from the students and the parents and the faculty and the new president of Spelman College. So here's what I said to the assembled students and parents, and, but mostly, yes, addressing the students. I'm deeply honored to be invited back to Spelman after 42 years. But this is your day, the students graduating today. It's a happy day for you and your families. I know you have your own hopes for the future, so it may be a little presumptuous for me to tell you what hopes I have for you. But they're exactly the same ones that I have for my own grandchildren. My first hope is that you will not be too discouraged by the way the world looks at this moment. It is easy to be discouraged because our nation is at war, still another war, war after war. And our government seems determined to expand its empire, even if it costs the lives of tens of thousands of human beings. There's poverty in this country and homelessness and people without health care and crowded classrooms. But our government, which has trillions of dollars to spend, is spending its wealth on war. There are a billion people in Asia, Africa, Latin America, the Middle East, who need clean water and medicine to deal with malaria and tuberculosis and AIDS. But our government, which has thousands of nuclear weapons, is experimenting with even more deadly nuclear weapons. Yes, it's easy to be discouraged by all that. But let me tell you why, in spite of what I have just described, you must not be discouraged. I want to remind you that 50 years ago, racial segregation here in the South was entrenched as tightly as was apartheid in South Africa. The national government, even with liberal presidents like Kennedy and Johnson in office, was looking the other way while black people were beaten, killed, and denied the opportunity to vote. So black people in the South decided they had to do something by themselves. They boycotted and sat in and picketed and demonstrated and were beaten and jailed and some were killed. But their cries for freedom were soon heard all over the nation and around the world. And the President and Congress finally did what they had previously failed to do, enforced the 14th and 15th Amendments of the Constitution. Many people had said, the South will never change. But it did change. It changed because ordinary people organized and took risks and challenged the system and would not give up. That's when democracy came alive. I want to remind you also that when the war in Vietnam was going on and young Americans were dying and coming home paralyzed and our government was bombing the villages of Vietnam, bombing schools and hospitals and killing millions of people in huge numbers, it looked hopeless to try to stop the war, but just as in the Southern movement, people began to protest and soon it caught on. It was a national movement. Soldiers were coming back and denouncing the war. Young people were refusing to join the military and the war had to end. The lesson of that history is that you must not despair. That if you are right and you persist, things will change. The government may try to deceive the people and the newspapers and television may do the same. But the truth has a way of coming out. The truth has a power greater than 100 lies. I know you have practical things to do to get jobs and get married and have children. You may become prosperous and be considered a success in the way our society defines success by wealth and standing and prestige. But that is not enough for a good life. Remember Tolstoy's story, The Death of Ivan Ilyich. A man on his deathbed reflects on his life, how he has done everything right, obeyed the rules, become a judge, married, had children, and is looked upon as a success. Yet in his last hours he wonders why he feels a failure. After becoming a famous novelist, Tolstoy himself had decided that this was not enough, that he must speak out against the treatment of the Russian peasants, that he must write against war and militarism. My hope is that whatever you do to make a good life for yourself, whether you become a teacher or a social worker or a business person or lawyer or poet or scientist, you will devote part of your life to making this a better world for your children, for all children. My hope is that your generation will demand an end to war, that your generation will do something that has not yet been done in history and wipe out the national boundaries that separate us from other human beings on this earth.
R.I.P. Howard Zinn.
WMBR, Cambridge.